Turning again in God's Word to Lamentations chapter 3. Lamentations chapter 3 again. And let's just take a moment, still our hearts, and seek the Lord for His help and for His grace as we come to His truth today. Our Father in heaven, we thank You that we are once again before the Word of the living God. We thank You have given us Your truth, and we pray, O God, that even as we would place ourselves before Your Word, as we come to ponder what Thou hast said for our spiritual edification, we pray, O God, Thou would speak to us today. You know every heart, You know every need, You know every circumstance. Bless the Lord that that is the work of the Spirit of God to take His own truth, that which He has given, and apply it to our lives. And Lord, this is what we're praying for today. Above the voice of man, may God Himself be at work in our midst. Lord, we would cover this so sincerely and genuinely. We want Thee, O Lord, to be at work in our midst. We want Thee, O Lord, to be dealing with us, to put Your hand upon our lives and to write Your truth upon our hearts. O God, speak, we ask of Thee. We pray for help in the preaching of Your Word today. Give wisdom, give grace. And Lord, we pray that even as Your Word is preached, Your will might be done on earth as it is in heaven. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So we're found in God's house in this last Lord's Day of 2019. The subject that I want us to consider today is self-examination. The subject of self-examination. We've now come to the end of another year. 2019 is almost behind us. But at such points of time as this, it is profitable to take a moment and reflect upon our lives. It is beneficial to consider and evaluate where exactly we are, spiritually speaking. Have the last 12 months been months of progress and advancement in the things of God? Has there been growth and fruitfulness in our lives? Has this year been a profitable year or a poor year for me spiritually? Coming to the end of another year, there is value and worth in examining and assessing our lives and reflecting on the direction we are going. Now, I should say, generally speaking, the Christian life is not a life of looking back and of living in the past. And that needs to be stated. The Christian life is not a life of continually looking back and living in the past. Instead, it is a life of looking forward. And it is a life of contemplating the future. And there are many, many verses of Scripture which proves this to be the case. Think of the words of the Apostle Paul in Philippians 3, 13 and 14. As he describes his own life and spiritual pilgrimage, Paul says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Paul was not living in the past. He was not looking back to the good old days. He was so busy reaching forth, so busy pressing forward in living the Christian life, that he just forgot those things that were behind, those things that were in the past. And he was striving forward. He was seeking to press on to newer heights and to gain more for God in his Christian life. And so this was the perspective of the Apostle Paul. This was his outlook on life. Think also of the Lord Jesus Christ as He preached in the Sermon on the Mount. This is what He said in Matthew 6, 19 and 20. "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal." And the Savior here says, the Christian is to live with heaven in view. This is the idea, this is the thought here. We're not to be focused on the things of this world. And this is the whole emphasis of what the Lord is saying here. We're not to be taken up with the things of this world. Instead, we are to live our lives focused upon the world that is yet to come. Looking forward. Not even looking at the present. But looking forward and building for eternity. We are to live, as Hebrews 12 and 2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. In fact, in Hebrews 9 and 28, God's people are actually identified as those that are looking to the future. And this is how the Christian is identified. This is what it says in Hebrews 9:28. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Notice in this verse, Christ's people are identified as them that look for him. Not them that look back into the past. Not them that look back into the good old days and reminisce continually about what was there in past times. No, God's people are identified as those that look for him. The Christian is that person who is looking forward to that day when their Savior and Beloved will come again for them. Therefore, the perspective and outlook of the Christian life is not looking back, but it's looking forward. We are not living in the past. Instead, we are to live with eternity in view. Of course, the Christian can with joy look to the future because their past has been dealt with. And this is the glorious thing about the Christian life. We can with hope and we can with expectation look to the future. We can with excitement think about the future because our past has been dealt with. Our sins have been dealt with in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me just say, if your past sin has never been dealt with, then you cannot look to the future with hope and expectation. You cannot look to the future with any degree of joy or excitement or hope. If your sin, if your past, if your life has not been dealt with, then the future only holds dread. It only holds condemnation for you. The Christian can look to the future with joy because their past has been dealt with. The Christian life then, generally speaking, is one of looking to the future. It is one of looking forward and not looking back. However, this does not rule out the importance and necessity of reflecting upon our spiritual growth and development. This doesn't rule it out. The child of God should ever be concerned with progress and advancement in the things of God. Therefore, there needs to be times of self-examination and of evaluating the direction our lives are headed in. There needs to be these seasons, these times, these points in our lives where we simply stop and consider, evaluate. Examine ourselves, examine our hearts, examine our lives. Where are we? What direction are we headed in? And then coming to the end of another year, this is a good time to examine our lives and hearts and to reflect upon where we are in regard to living the Christian life. Where we actually are spiritually. Now the words I want to direct your attention to today are those found in Lamentations 3 in the verse 40 here. Notice what it says in verse 40. Let us search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord. Let us search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord. There's very clearly the thought here of self-examination. It's clear for all to see. There is the thought and idea in these words of self-examination. And there are three things I want us to note in this verse of Scripture about self-examination. Notice firstly with me here the requirement of self-examination. The requirement. As the prophet Jeremiah declares, let us search and try our ways. He was setting before the people of Israel the requirement that there was for this self-examination. In essence, he was saying to these people, this is something we need to do. This is something which we cannot neglect. Therefore, let us search and try our ways. Because this is important, because this is needful, let us then search and try our ways. Now, in almost every area of life, there is the need to take stock. And there is a need to consider how things are going. For example, those in business will examine their annual accounts. They will look at their books at the end of the financial year to see if the business is in good shape. And this is what people who own businesses do. They look at their books, they look at their accounts, and they even compare this year with perhaps the previous year or the previous 5 years, and they want to see the direction the business is going. Is it going up or is it going down or is it flatlined? Do we need to change things? And they take this time to examine their books. A good businessman will do this. Again, people very often go to their doctor for a checkup or for a medical. The doctor will check their blood pressure, their heart rate, etc. He will test their bodily functions to ascertain if they're in good shape, if they're healthy. Or do they need to make lifestyle changes? And this is what people do. They go to their doctor for this medical, this health check, to make sure that they are not damaging their body. Or do they need to make alterations in how they're living? And so in many areas of life, there is a time to evaluate and assess how things are going. However, as we consider this passage of Scripture in which Jeremiah was urging the people of Israel to spiritually examine their lives, we learn that Jeremiah was seeking for this process of self-examination for two reasons. As we examine this book, we see that Jeremiah was seeking for this process of spiritual self-examination for two reasons. Notice here Jeremiah exhorts these people to examine themselves because of the affliction of the church. Because of the affliction of the church. If you turn back to the opening words of this book, to Lamentations 1 and verses 1 and 2, we see here that the work of God was in great affliction at this time. It was in a terrible place. And of course, the very name of this book, Lamentations, would suggest that the God's servant was lamenting something. He was lamenting the state of the situation in regard to Israel, spiritually speaking. This was the lamentation of his heart. This was the cry of his soul. But notice what it says in the opening words here. How doth the city sit solitary that was full of people? How has she become as a widow? She that was great among the nations and princes among the provinces. How is she become tributary? She weepeth sore in the night, and her tears are on her cheeks. Among all her lovers she hath none to comfort her. All her friends have dealt treacherously with her. They are become her enemies. Notice as God's servant speaks of the work of God in these words, he speaks of how it is suffering great affliction. And that's what is brought before us so clearly in these words. Great affliction. There was decrease. For verse 1 tells the city, now sits solitary, that was full of people. And so Jeremiah said, listen, this city used to be a vibrant city, full of people, inhabited it. But now, it's solitary. It's empty. There's been the decrease. There was also destitution. Because the question is asked, how has he become as a widow? A widow. Destitution. The widow speaks about poverty. Speaks about emptiness. Being in a poor state. There was destitution. Then there was great distress. Verse 2 tells us of her great weeping. Cheeks are marked by tears. There was great distress. Now remember, this was Jeremiah speaking about the state of affairs in regard to God's work in his day. This is how he describes God's work. This is how he describes the spiritual state of affairs in the nation of Israel. As he then laments the terrible condition into which the church was found, what does he do? He exhorts God's people, let us search and try our ways. You see, this is why he's asking these people for self-examination, because of the affliction of the church, because of the situation she was found in. Let us search and try our ways. In like manner, this is why there is the requirement for us to search and try our ways. Do we not, like Jeremiah, live in days in which the church is found in great affliction? Well, I don't think we can deny this. There is decrease. Numerical decrease. Decrease in numbers. Can't deny this. In many of our churches, many evangelical churches, two generations are missing. Vast majority of people our older people decrease. There's also destitution. Spiritually, things are weak and in a poor state. This is the state of the church. Coldness of heart and waywardness. And there's distress. And there's great distress amongst many of God's people. Their loved ones and their friends are heedless and careless. Their children reject the things of God and they live as if there was no God. There is this distress. It is undeniable. The church is in much affliction in these days. This is our situation. How we can really identify with Jeremiah. Yet how are we to respond to this? How are we as God's people to respond to this? Let us search and try our ways. Self-examination is required in our hearts and in our lives. We need to examine ourselves. We need to consider our ways. We need to reflect upon what the situation is and how the situation has developed and why we are in this present affliction. And so Jeremiah exhorts these people to examine themselves because of the affliction of the church. He also exhorts them to examine themselves because of the advancement of corruption. The advancement of corruption. Notice the words of verse 46 in chapter 3 here. It says, all our enemies have opened their mouths against us. Here Jeremiah speaks of how all the enemies of God's people have opened their mouths. They have opened their mouths, not only speaking against them, but also seeking to devour them. And that's the thought here. There's this coming together of wickedness. This coming together of wickedness to oppose and to resist the people of God. If you ever compare now the words of verse 16 in chapter 2, go back a chapter and see what it says in verse 16. All thine enemies have opened their mouths against thee. Notice here now, Jeremiah is not speaking about how there's the enemies of God's people, but here he's speaking about the very enemies of God. All thine enemies have opened their mouth against thee. Such were the times God's servant lived in. The people unashamedly spoke against God. They publicly resisted and opposed the Lord and His truth. And these were the days that he lived in. This was the prevailing atmosphere in Jeremiah's time. The greatest corruption and wickedness filled the land. People were speaking against God and against His truth. Again, it's not hard for us to draw a parallel to the times in which we live. If we just reflect over this past year to what has happened in our own province, we can say the enemies of God have opened their mouths against Him. They have opened their mouths against Him. We have seen the advancement of corruption. Sodomite marriage has been brought into our province. The killing of the unborn has been legalized. This is what has happened in the past year. And the sad reality is those political parties that have most aggressively promoted an immoral and a wicked agenda, those parties, those politicians that have most aggressively promoted that which is evil and wicked, it is they who have seen their vote increase. It is they who have become popular. It is they the people desire. See, this is what the people want in their land, in our land. And what has really happened is this. They have opened their mouth against God. By their voting. By their decision making. All thine enemies have opened their mouth against thee. We live in days of great wickedness. Where evil is called good and good is called evil. There has been the advancement of corruption in our province. And yet it seems as if the church is without power and without strength to withstand or resist this continuing onslaught of corruption and evil. It seems that cannot stop this tidal wave of wickedness. It is therefore time for self-examination. This is what is required in these lamentable days. We need to examine our lives. And we need to consider, why has God permitted these things to be so? Why is this the situation we are in? Why has there been this advancement in corruption? Why is the church in much affliction? Oh, there is the requirement for self-examination as we think about this as God's people. Yes, we can think about a world and we can point the finger at a wicked world, but really that's nothing to do with us. That which is most important for us is our own hearts and our own lives. Therefore, in the face of all of this wickedness and evil that we have seen, I know that you have seen it. Many people have spoken to me about these things. What are we to do? We're to examine our lives. Self-examination is required. And so we see the requirement for self-examination here. But then notice with me, secondly, the rigor of self-examination. The rigor of it. Notice again the words of our text. Let us search and try our ways. What these words make clear is true spiritual self-examination is a rigorous and a thorough process. As Jeremiah said to the people of Israel, let us search and try our ways. They would have understood he was exhorting them to engage in an intensive examination of their lives. They would have clearly understood this. The prophet is asking us to undertake a very intense examination. He was urging them to be real. And he was urging them to be serious about where they were spiritually. See, this is the very nature of self-examination. It is a serious business. And it involves honesty. It involves sincerity about spiritual things. You notice in this verse, as Jeremiah speaks to the people of Israel, he draws to their attention what is involved in this serious work of self-examination. He really draws before them what is involved in this process. We learn here self-examination involves searching. It involves searching. The word search in our text does not just mean to look for something, but it means to diligently search. In fact, in Psalm 77 verse 6, which again brings before us the subject of self-examination, the same Hebrew word translated search here in Lamentations 3 and 40 is translated in Psalm 77, diligently search. This is what Psalm 77 verse 6 says. I commune with mine own heart and my spirit made diligent search. Now again, the subject that is before us there is self-examination. I commune with mine own heart and my spirit made diligent search. It is the thought of self-reflection, examining our own souls. And the psalmist is saying, I make diligent search. Careful search of my own heart and my own life. Self-examination therefore involves the most careful and thorough searching out of our hearts and lives. There needs to be a searching of our desires. We need to examine carefully the longings and the loves of our hearts. And this is involved in self-examination. Our desires. This is so important. And the reason why it is so important is because God knows our desires. He can see into our hearts. And he knows if we are harboring sinful desires and thoughts in our souls. He knows us. Oh yes, we can deceive others. We can even try to deceive ourselves. But we can never deceive God. Because he knows our desires. He knows the things that you've thought in this past week. He knows those sins that you love in your soul that no one else knows. He knows all of your desires. Therefore, as we search out our lives, we need to examine our desires. Now, let me just put it to you today. Is your desire for holy things? Is your desire for holy things? Now, dear people, I want you to think about these things and go home and reflect upon these things. Because you cannot go through this process of self-examination merely in a few moments in God's house. You need to go home and consider these things. Consider the desires and longings of your soul, your appetites. So your desire for spiritual things, holy things. Or is your desire for the things of this world? There needs not only to be a searching of our desires, there needs to be a searching of our deeds. Again, this is so essential in self-examination. Our deeds, the deeds of our lives honoring to God. Have we glorified Him in all of our ways? Is the manner by which we are living honoring to God in our work life? With those that we work among? Does our behavior honor the Lord? In our home life? In church life? In church life? Tending the house of God? Not neglecting the place of worship? This is self-examination, folks. And as you stand before God and you examine yourself, is your deeds acceptable before God? We need to have a searching of our desires, a searching of our deeds. Of course, we need a searching of our declarations. Has our speech and words been wholesome and pure? Have the things that we have said been glorifying to God? Self-examination involves the searching of our whole man, you see. And this is the point I'm trying to get across. If you think about our desires and our deeds and our declarations, this process brings our whole being under the spotlight. We bring ourselves out and we open ourselves up and we look at every area of our lives. This is what true self-examination is. Diligent searching. Diligent searching of our whole beings. Then we see also that true self-examination not only involves a searching, it involves the scriptures. This is something we must not overlook. Spiritual self-examination is only possible as we shine the light of truth upon our souls. It's only possible as we actually bring the light of truth and shine it upon our lives. Notice here in our text, Jeremiah uses the word try. Try. Let us search and try our ways. Now this word try has a thought of testing something or sounding it out as to its true nature. And that's really what it means. Testing something or trying something. Sounding it out as to its true nature. Turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 20 just for a moment. 1 Samuel chapter 20. And we have an example of how this word is used in this sense. 1 Samuel chapter 20 and the verse 12. Jonathan is speaking to David. This is what he says to David, his friend. 1 Samuel 20, verse 12. Jonathan said unto David, O Lord God of Israel, when I have sounded my father about tomorrow any time, or the third day, and behold, if there be good toward David, and I then send not unto thee, and show it thee. Notice here in this verse of scripture, there's the word sounded. Jonathan's speaking to David and he says, when I have sounded my father, when I have sounded my father. The word sounded in this verse is the same word translated try. Same Hebrew word translated try in our text. But think of what Jonathan is doing here. He's putting his father Saul to the test. That's what he's doing. He's going to face Saul with the truth about David. Going to bring the truth about David and he's going to sound his father out. He's going to test him. Set this truth before his father, and he's going to see how he will respond. And so this is what this word try means. Speaks about sounding out. In spiritual self-examination, we sound out our lives, how? By the test of Scripture. Just as Jonathan sounded out his father, this is what we do with God's word. We bring God's word to our lives, and we check our lives out. We sound out our lives. We hold up our lives before the holy standard. And we examine them in the light of truth. Dear people, this is the place. This is the place where we need to get to. This is the place where we need to be. Everything else is only playing about. It's only playing games. We must get to this place. We bring our lives before the Word of God and submit to His authority. Submit to what He says. That's the place we need to be at. Bringing our lives before the Word of God and submitting to His truth. You know, this is what will transform things. This is what will transform the church. This is what will transform spiritual matters in your family and in your home. Bringing your lives before the Word and sounding them out. And submitting them to the authority of Scripture. So often in life, we are worried about what others think and say about us. And we're so concerned about what other people think. And other people's opinions. But you see, in self-examination, do you know what we're doing? We're becoming concerned about what God thinks and says about us. That's really what we're doing. What does God say about me? What does God think about my life? As I hold it up under the searchlight of truth, what does God really think of me as a Christian in God of a Free Presbyterian Church? What does God think of my life? What does God think of my conduct? What does God think about my behavior? This is what we're doing. We sound out our lives by Scripture. By Scripture. See, self-examination is not you holding up your life to the preacher. It's not you holding up your life to some other believer or to the standard of some church. It's not. It goes far deeper than that. It's bringing your life before the very Word of God. Therefore, we see self-examination involves the Scriptures. It involves searching. We also see here self-examination involves sincerity. It involves sincerity. How important sincerity is in self-examination. Jeremiah says, let us search and try our ways. There was a focus here upon their own ways. Their own ways. To put yourself to the test, to examine your own life involves honesty. It involves sincerity. Oh, it does. It involves a level of sincerity. There's nowhere else found in life. The sad reality is, we are all experts, and I speak to myself as well. We are all experts in seeing and pointing out the sin and wrong in others. Why we're good at that. But when it comes to our own lives, when it comes to our own sin, we again are experts. But we're experts in excusing our sin. In excusing it. This, of course, is a family trait. This is a family trait that has passed from one generation to the next. When the sin of our first parents was drawn to their attention, when God brought before Adam and Eve their sin and their wickedness, their rebellion against Him, what did Adam immediately do? He justified his sin by blaming Eve. And then Eve justified her sin by blaming the serpent. They tried to excuse what they had done. Yet this is so often how we behave. We look at others. And we look at their faults and their sin. And we are like the Pharisee in the temple. We thank God we are not like other men. And that's what we do. That's what we do. And so often we do that. We look at others and we thank God we're not like them. We see their faults and their sins and we think, well, you know, we're not too bad ourselves. Because look at your man there, or look at your woman there. And through spiritual self-examination, there is a trying of our ways. Not a trying of someone else's ways. There is a trying of our ways. Therefore, there is a humble and meek sincerity. There is a facing up to and an owning of our sin. This is why self-examination is so unpleasant. It's not a nice process. Because you know, if you're honest with yourself, if you with sincerity examine your life in the light of Scripture, you will expose things about yourself that are deeply unpleasant. Deeply unpleasant. You will come to face up to the reality of where you truly are. It is an unpleasant process. But oh, how needful it is. How important it is. The rigor of self-examination. Searching by Scripture with sincerity. Then notice with me one last thing quickly here. And that is the reason for self-examination. The final words in verse 40 bring before us the reason for this self-examination. Notice again what it says. Let us search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord. This must be the ultimate outcome of serious spiritual self-examination. A turning again to God. A living in closer fellowship with Him. A walking more and more in the ways of truth and righteousness. Indeed, as we think of the closing words of our text, we see that self-examination leads to two things. We see here it produces in the heart of the Christian repentance. That's what it does. Self-examination always produces in the heart of the Christian repentance. The word turn here contains this idea of repentance. When repentance, or when someone repents, they turn from their sin and they turn again unto God. This is the very nature of repentance. And so this is what Jeremiah is saying here. Let us search and try our ways and turn. Or we could read, and repent again to the Lord. Turn back from our sin. And turn back unto God. Where there is true self-examination, there will be repentance from sin. You see this in the life of Peter after he denied the Lord. Matthew 26, 75 tells us, Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. As Peter called to remembrance Christ's word, and as he examined the deeds of his own life, he was a broken man. He wept bitterly. He was filled with sorrow over his sin. He repented. Truth is, self-examination and repentance always go hand in hand. They always do. They always go hand in hand. You cannot have repentance without self-examination. And where there is true spiritual self-examination, a true evaluation of the heart and the life, then there will be a turning away from sin and a turning unto God. There will be repentance. There's little self-examination in these days. And that's why there's little weeping over sin. That's why there's little sorrow. Because there's little self-examination. And so self-examination produces in the heart of the Christian repentance. We also see here it produces in the heart of the Christian renewal. This is why Jeremiah exhorted and encouraged the people of Israel to earnestly examine their lives. This is why he did. So that on considering the weakness and waywardness of their current position, they would look afresh to God and seek after Him. They might come to know spiritual revival and renewal in their lives. This must always be the end of self-examination. Let me emphasize that today. This must always be the end of self-examination. Not despair. Not discouragement. Not hopelessness. Not heaviness. This is not the purpose of self-examination. Sometimes people come to God's house thinking, well, you know, if we get beat up well in church today, we'll be better off. No, we're not. No, we're not. If our conscience is troubled and we're convicted and we're challenged, that's good. Well, it's good in a sense. But we must not leave it there. Well, that's disaster. That's only depression. The gospel doesn't come to beat us down. It comes to lift us up. Christ speaks in His word, not to wound us, but to heal us. That's the whole purpose. Therefore, self-examination doesn't bring discouragement and despair. The end of self-examination must be that we afresh see our great need of Christ. And we are brought earnestly to seek after Him in a fuller and greater sense. This is the end of it. Revival, renewal, change. Or as our text says, turn again to the Lord. Turn again to the Lord. Oh, if this happens, if this is where self-examination brings us to, then we will know spiritual renewal and revival in our lives. We will. You will know it personally. And as that work continues to increase, the church will know it collectively. You see, the truth is this. The failures of the past, and we've all got them. We've all got our failures, we've all got our sin. As we think back in 2019, there's many flaws, there's many failures, there's many things that are so grieving. But the failures of the past, how should we respond to them as they are exposed, as we look into our hearts and lives? This is how we ought to respond to them. Our failures should drive us into the arms of our beloved. The one in whom we can enjoy every spiritual blessing. This is the end of it, you see. As we examine our lives, as we come to see what we are and our waywardness and our sin, it should drive us into Christ's arms. It should drive us to Him that we might cling to Him and hold fast unto Him. And you see, the believer who's doing such a thing will come to know tremendous spiritual blessing, revival and renewal in their lives. Oh, this is the end of self-examination. Not that we might feel guilty for a time. Oh, this is but the end where you leave it. It is but failure. I do not want you to go out of God's house today feeling guilty about yourself. But I want you to go out of God's house today saying, I need more of Christ. I need to hold fast to Him. I need to cling to Him. I need to love Him. I need to give Him all my heart and all my life. Because in that there is real blessing. In that there is revival itself. This is the reason for self-examination, repentance, but ultimately, renewal. May we all take time and consider our lives, honestly and sincerely before God. And may we all come to know the end result of self-examination, God's reviving work in our lives and in our souls. Let's just close in a word of prayer. Our loving God and our Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for the searchlight of truth. Thank you, Lord, you speak to us in your word, not to destroy us. But Lord, you speak to us in your word to heal us, to redeem us, to bring us closer to yourself. We pray, O God, that as thy people today, that we would submit to your word, that we would submit to your speaking voice, that we would be honest before God, that we would not play games of spiritual things. But Lord, we would be real about these matters. Lord, we would seek to know thee and to know thy blessing in a fuller and greater sense in our lives. Be with those that will leave us, remember us around your table. May we know your help and your presence. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.